Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Baseline, call a slam. Patrick Lynch, he's had the most sensational dunks of this ballgame. Up ahead to Gray, here's Williams, what a slam. Well, you knew that was coming. Williams, the flush on the baseline. Pinned at the backboard, and a rejection to follow by Patrick Williams as he guarded the rim twice.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Our thanks to ESPN and the ACC Network for the highlights. And we are delighted to welcome in Arturis Karnišovas. He, of course, the president of basketball operations of the Chicago Bulls, and joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Good morning, Arturis.
Good morning, Arturis.
Good morning, Mike and Dave. How's everything?
It's great to talk to you again, and it's great to talk to you on a day like this because, you know, we have been operating in kind of the dark, much like most of the world, and we don't know what to expect and what you're trying to get done. And I think we have a little bit of a hint with Patrick Williams. Really excited to see the first draft pick of your time here with the Bulls. When did you know? How quickly, how long does it take? What was the moment that you knew that this was the guy you guys wanted?
Well, it's, it was a long process. You know, originally, you know, the draft was supposed to be in June. Now we're in November, so we had a long time to study, do our diligence, even see him, work out. Meet him, interview him, have a meal with him. So in all this process, we figured, that this is what the NBA is. He can play multiple positions. He can defend multiple positions. We thought that his reputations of not being skilled was not the case. Him playing point guard in high school and being so much more skilled than everybody thought, it was a plus. And we thought he was our guy.
Arturis, Patrick Williams, he was a sixth man of the year in the ACC as an 18-year-old freshman. Did not start games, and I think a lot of people wondered about that. But as Leonard Hamilton, his coach, said, he finished them. And so he was a guy they came to rely upon. But in evaluating him and just having that 1 year when he wasn't a starter, how did you strike a balance in making the decision between that obvious potential that you spoke of in his athleticism and the limited production as a freshman coming off the bench?
Well, he showed a huge improvement, because I know that he came to Florida State on campus as a 17-year-old. So he is extremely young, one of the youngest players in the draft. But again, watching games and constant improvement was the difference with him. So that's why at the end of the day, we thought that he's going to pick up things very quick. He knows that he's going to come in, he's going to listen to the vets, he's going to learn quick because, the season is coming fast and furious. And, he's going to have to do his best. Probably not as much, physically as much as, mentally, because he spent only 1 year in college. So it's going to be a huge adjustment for him in NBA.
it just blows my mind that if you had drafted in June and taken him, he'd be 18 at the time.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just crazy. He just turned 19 in August. You know, when you talk about figuring out a player in this day and age, obviously the background work is so important because you need to know about his work ethic. You need to know about his love of the game. You need to know about the people around him. And you're talking about a teenager that will have time and money, things that maybe weren't available to him before. How do you make those evaluations?
I mean, I can't imagine to be in his shoes, to be so young and everything is coming at me so fast. But we thought he was very mature beyond his years, you know, just from talking to him. He was very humble. He was very thoughtful. You know, we knew a ton of stuff. He has a great support system with his family. So staff did an unbelievable job collecting, you know, information, you know, watching film, constant updates. And we, you know, in this draft process, we were able to see him and spend some time with him, and we were comfortable drafting him.
It came out last night that you guys had a pre-draft workout. I think it was in Los Angeles, Arturas, and a dinner as well. What stood out about that experience, and how difficult was it to keep a lid on that information? Because in this day and age, that's not easy to do.
Well, it was challenging, you know, because what we wanted to do is obviously to bring prospects to Chicago, show our practice facility, and work him out, and show city of Chicago, get him excited about the city, but we didn't have this opportunity. So we had to travel around the country and, you know, watch prospects work out. And, you know, we went to LA and to watch us work out, and we were very excited what we saw.
I read a story about him that when he got on campus at Florida State, he went in to meet with the coaching staff, and they knew it was going to be a tough conversation because you're talking about a five-star recruit, you're talking about a team that had won 29 games, got to the Sweet 16, and they weren't sure if he was going to be able to start, and they were going to have to use him differently, and they have a system there, the way they play, and they brought him in to talk to him, and all he wanted to talk about was how they could make him a better defender and how he could help in on his defense, what should he be working on. And they said that they had never had a conversation like that with a kid because everybody wants to know, like, what plays are you running for me? How will you feature my offense? And he kind of went the other way on him.
For sure. I mean, just watching, you know, Florida State games, you know, they would feature him on top of, you know, full court press. You know, he would press guards. You know, so he would be all over the place. So I think he came in with mindset, you know, how I can help the program to win games as a freshman, being so young, and he's going to have to do the same when he comes in here in Chicago.
So obviously this was your first time leading the Bulls through a draft, first time leading a team through a draft in the whole process. What was that like as you reflect back at the end of a long day? And what was the best advice you got from either colleagues, friends, or your family going into it?
Well, it was an exciting night. I enjoyed it, and that's basically it, what I got from every exec that was texting me. It's like, enjoy the night, which is easy to say, right? But
yeah.
But it was a long first round, but we waited for so long for the draft, and, you know, me and, you know, and our staff, we really enjoyed it. And we got, you know, the players that we liked. And it's very hard to say at the end of the night when you get what you want.
The second round pick was Marko Simanović, who is a Montenegrin player who plays in Serbia. And it was kind of funny, I just following it on Twitter, people were Googling and they were coming up with a different player and they didn't know who you would pick.
That was hilarious.
And, but you didn't take a 34-year-old, just to clarify.
Just to clarify, yes. So he's a 21-year-old that is playing for Mega, playing in Adriatic League. He's a 7-footer, very versatile player. And, you know, we got a chance to actually see him in September, October, November, because, you know, no basketball is going on but Europe. So you're able to watch those games, and he, you know, he improved this year. You know, shot 51 from the floor, 41 from a three, averaged close to 10 rebounds per game, 16 points. You know, and we were really happy with this selection, and he's going to be, you know, the bull in the future.
You know, I thought it was really interesting last night hearing you talk about Patrick Williams in the context of positionless basketball, Arturis, and how that is today's mm-hmm. NBA, and you need to, you know, guard multiple positions and play multiple roles on offense as well, and how his versatility was what appealed to you as much as anything. And I wondered if you could apply that to your own roster now that you've gotten a chance to know it a little bit better, because training camp starts pretty soon. And when you see your own roster and you apply the same sorts of things that you liked about Patrick Williams, do you have players that fit that criteria? Because you look at your roster, and those of us who have watched the Bulls the last several years really closely, you wonder if it's an ideal – is that what you described? Is that what you're looking for?
Yes, it's probably the easiest thing to apply to this roster, because then, you know, Coach Donovan will, you know, will figure out in practices how to use him and where to plug him in. When you have a, you know, multi-positional player, then you just, you know, plug your holes and deficiencies, and he's going to put him in a situation to succeed. I believe that.
You know, when you got here, we talked to you about your roster, and you had to take a look at it and spend some time with it. As we sit here now, I believe you have 14 players, if you count the draft pick, who will be under contract. That doesn't seem like there's a lot of leeway. I'm sure you were heard from a ton of people about various trades. I'm sure you know of all the rumors that were floating around out there. Are you limited in what you can do, and what's next? Free agency comes immediately. How quickly do you have to move here?
Well, we spend a lot of time, obviously, before the draft, you know, to think of all the scenarios that, you know, would make sense for our team and for current roster. You know, we felt that, you know, the players that we're going to get a chance to draft, and then, you know, we're going to approach the free agency, you know, and fill the rest of the roster. You know, the guy that fell through the cracks, you know, in the draft that we were also able to get, and, you know, on a two-way deal was Dawson from Kansas. So, and he's another guy that, you know, fell in the draft, and he's going to be a pretty good addition to our squad. And then, you know, tomorrow the free agency starts, and we're going to get back in the war room, and we're going to figure it out who else we, you know, need to add to our roster.
Yeah, Devon Dotson, he's an interesting undrafted free agent point guard out of Kansas who has some Chicago in his background,
yes,
as well, Arturis.
Exactly.
And you know, looking at your roster, the decisions you made this past week as well, Chris Dunn is moving on. Obviously, that was a conscious decision on your part. Denzel Valentine, looks like you reinvested some confidence and money in Denzel Valentine. Could you talk about that decision? What was it? Was it either or, and how difficult was it?
No, I mean, you know, we had to make a decision on, you know, versatility and add shooting. I think that was the approach for our free agency, limited roster spots and who we can add. So, you know, at the end of the day, we said we're going to focus on things of, you know, versatility. And that's how we looked at it.
So here we are. You know, you talk about free agency, you made those hard decisions, and now, you know, maybe you're looking for another shooter, maybe you want something else. But when you look at this, do you feel like you've established your team moving forward here for the right now, and you it's about player development, or could you still make some kind of a deal?
It's always about player development. You got to develop your own players. They have to get better, you know, and some of the guys took a step back last year, and this is our job right now to find ways to improve, to give them confidence, and spending a lot of time with Coach Donovan, you know, we thought that we have a pretty good roster. He's going to try to bring the best in each player and maximize our roster and figure it out how to use them best on offense and defense. So that's what we're going to have to figure it out in our meetings right now.
I like the fact that you said last night you're going to be picky in free agency. Are you going to be particular looking for any specific role or position? Is point guard still at the top of the priority list? And if you can't find one in free agency, how about Maurice Cheeks? Does he have any anything left in his game as your new assistant coach?
Another Chicago guy. I'm very excited also to have Mo here too. So he's going to be huge for players and, you know, as a coach, as a role model. We're going to be picky just because the roster spots are so, valuable. So we're going to be, you know, looking at who we need to add and who's going to be available as well. So, again, we need to spread the floor. So, you know, we definitely could take a look at some shooting. And we'll go from there.
You know, we were pretty pumped up when you got Billy Donovan, and I think everybody was pretty impressed at how quickly you moved on that, how when he became available, there was no hesitation, and he became the guy. How's your relationship with him? How excited were you to be able to get that piece of business done?
Great relationship so far. It's still a honeymoon. He's an unbelievable coach, an unbelievable person. You know, he spent hours with us also in the war room and watching film, and you know, he's a great partner. So we'll have this little time to figure it out how to, you know, get to training camp and be on the same page.
It's been a whirlwind, Arturas, and I think you've had lots happened in the last 6 months or so. But as we near the beginning of what is going to be a 72-game schedule, how would you just summarize what this process has been like for you, and how are you doing in dealing with the pandemic, both professionally and personally, because it's been a challenge for everyone?
Yes, so it's come in fast and furious, but we don't mind because we miss basketball. So, you know, our staff, our players, just, you know, all we just waiting for information from the league, when we need to show up, what we need to do, how we need to protect ourselves from COVID, and, you know, just following the dates, following the schedule, because this is what our lives usually are during the year. It's like you follow dates, and we finally have them. And it's exciting, and December 1st cannot come fast enough, and December 22nd as well.
Arturas, thanks a ton for jumping on. We appreciate it. A final thought on Patrick Williams. You know, the guy, he is so young, and you look at the last time you saw him play in March, and now he's going to have like 9 months. He could be a different player. He could just improve in terms of developing more from the time he stopped playing to the time you bring him in. The player development thing is going to be so much fun to watch with a guy like this.
Yes, absolutely. Our staff is ready to put hands on him, and he's, you know, he's ready to learn, and we cannot wait to get him here to the city of Chicago. He has some connections to some of our players on the roster. You know, he's one of another North Carolina guy. So we cannot wait to see him here.
Thanks,
great
Arturas.
Stuff. Thanks, Arturas.
Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
That is Arturas Karnišovas. Fun stuff, you know. Great time of year for this.
Oh, yeah, and Patrick Williams, you're right, Mully. I mean, just by growing up, just by maturing, he was, you know, the last time he played basketball was in March. He's turned 19. He was an 18-year-old at the time. Each year, he'll just get stronger, he'll get better, and now with the coaching, you can see some of the potential and why the Bulls were excited when he was on the board and why they were convicted and felt that when they drafted him.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
He showed a huge improvement, you know, because I know that he came to Florida State on campus as a 17-year-old. So he is extremely young, one of the youngest players in the draft. But again, watching games and constant improvement was the difference with him. So That's why at the end of the day, we thought that he's going to pick up things very quick. He knows that he's going to come in, he's going to listen to the vets, he's going to learn quick because, you know, the season is coming fast and furious, and he's going to have to do his best.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Great job turning that around, guys. That's our interview with AK and David. I think there's a lot there. There's a lot of meat on that bone. It's fascinating to me to talk about player development, and that is, you know, when you look at what they did last night, that's the centerpiece of what they're doing. They want to get players better. When he says that some guys took a step last year and you got to took a step backward and you got to help them with their confidence, I think we know who you're talking about. I think we know some of the players that need that player development, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at Lauri Markkanen, and that was the first name that came to mind, and there were maybe other examples. But I think, you know, people have to recognize what's going on here. And Bulls fans who, you know, were unsure about who Patrick Williams was and why is he the sixth man, don't get caught up in that. I mean, he played the fourth most minutes on that team. College basketball and basketball in general is structured differently than your NFL draft. If a guy isn't playing, you didn't draft a backup quarterback, okay? You didn't draft a backup anything. There were reasons why he was coming off the bench. It made sense for Florida State, which was a top five team last year.
Yeah.
So let's be fair here. The other thing, Mully, is that, you know, Bulls fans wanted a change. Bulls fans embraced this reset. If you're going to be, if those two things are true, then you've got to accept what happened last night is all part of the process. What happened last night would not have happened, I believe, with the old regime. The old regime tended, you know, John Paxson and Gar Forman, they had some pretty good draft picks, but they were guys who had accomplished a lot in college. They were guys who came to the NBA more proven than some of the risks, if you want to call them that, guys who were more potential over production. Last night was more was less production, more potential. And I think that it may be the subtle shift, but when we're asking and we're talking about player development, you've got to give this regime time to develop those players. And this is what Patrick Williams represents as much as anything.
312-644-6767. We're going to get to some of your calls, David. I said to you earlier, we were in our little text chat, and I said, God, you know, a lot of guys breaking down and crying last night. I was like surprised at how emotional the experience was, and you pointed out, and I think it's a great point to make, that, you know, they're at home. You're sitting in your home. You've been sitting there waiting for this, not just your whole life, but it's not like you had time to sit in New York and be in a hotel and think it through. All of a sudden, you know, boom, I'm drafted, and I'm sitting there, and Mom's next to me. I know we're used to that with some of the NFL stuff, but that's not a common occurrence in an NBA draft.
No, and you know, these kids are younger, too, and so You combine all the factors, and they're in their living room. They're not in an awkward hotel room, you know, wearing an uncomfortable suit, surrounded by cameras and strangers, you know, and their agent and their families at the table. But everybody's watching them, right? And they have an audience, and they're aware of that audience. Instead, they're at home. They're in their living room. They're on the couch that they watch Netflix on, and they're feeling their guard is down. So when this emotional moment happens, you know, Cole Anthony is as polished of a kid as you're going to find entering the draft. His dad was an NBA player. Did you see him break down? Did you see how unprepared he was for that emotionally? So it happens to everybody, but I think part of it was because they were just more comfortable at home in their living rooms.
Sitting at home crying on a Wednesday night is pretty run-of-the-mill for me, actually.
Normal
Wednesday
night. But you're alone. You know, he's got Spike Lee jumping up and down next to him. Hey, what are the rules about how many people you can have at your house? Because, good God, Cole Anthony.
That's the other thing. I hope there's not, like, an outbreak at some of these families' communities because nobody was really socially distancing or masking up. And I don't think that all those people lived in this under the same roof.
That's right. M- Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Thanks to Kevin and David. I think it's an exciting time for the Bulls. You know, I'm pumped up about it. I like the idea that Billy Donovan is the coach. I love the idea that they brought in all these guys to help them with player development. I think it's really interesting, and it's going to be fun to see what they do. They need more shooting, though, right?
Yeah, they do need more shooting. I think you'll find them maybe pursue a shooter or maybe a point guard in free agency. They will be picky, as AK said. But I like hearing from Patrick Williams, and obviously, you know, he's going to say the right things on draft night. But he said two things that stand out. Number one, how much pride he takes in playing defense. And he's going to be able to guard, you know, four different positions. And that's going to be how he probably asserts himself earlier in his career, sooner rather than later. The other thing is just the overall work ethic. And that's difficult to gauge and certainly easy to maybe, you know, see something that might not be there. But you heard it. It's what people say about him. And, you know, I thought it was a shame maybe, but Anthony Edwards, for example, the number one pick in the draft to the Timberwolves, he had to sort of defend this idea that he doesn't love the game. And right. I don't think necessarily that was as accurate, and maybe it's one of those things that, you know, he's asked about, but you don't hear anything like that with Patrick Williams. You hear a guy that's committed to doing the work and comes from a family that understands what that means, and the off the court stuff is as promising as the on the court stuff.
Yeah, I think that there's great potential there because the kid's going to work very hard. And you know, obviously, you know about his size and his ability with the basketball, things that that maybe were unknown. You know, I know that Sam Smith kind of compared him to Scottie Pippen, which I don't know that that's a great comparison. But, you know, we end up doing this. We can't help it. You know, when you're
right.
looking at a guy, you're always like, oh, he's the next Kawhi Leonard. Oh, Scottie Pippen just
well,
got
I like that.
That.
I like that better. I mean, you called him early, or you said you read it that he was a sort of a poor man's Kawhi Leonard.
Yes.
And that would be acceptable, I think. And so would, I think, somebody else who compared him to Draymond Green. We're always looking for comps. We're always looking for that player that you think of when you see somebody else.
It's funny, and I don't know if it's funny or not, but Kawhi obviously was kind of a late bloomer, and his freshman year in college, I think he averaged like 12 points and shot like 20% from 3-point range, right? I mean, he became a completely different player. And I also love the idea that that San Antonio loved the kid and wanted, and, you know, he was a guy that they might have taken. I heard some scouts say, David, just reading things and talking to some people, that it's really a benefit to move the draft back. That, you know, sometimes you get into this, you get caught up in this almost recency bias when you're watching, you know, the NCAA tournament, and boom, here comes June, and now we're picking guys. Having all that time, I mean, no one wants all that time, but it allows them to go back into someone's background, to talk more to the high school coaches and do more investigation of someone's background and their private life. And, you know, this guy's delivering flowers, for God's sake. That was the highlight of the damn show.
Well, I know. I love that. I love that narrative. And you know what? I did not mind. And some of the sort of package tragedy, you know, it's sort of like it was it was sort of every guy had this background story and they had to overcome something. And I think that bothered some people. But at the same time, it gave them a little bit of sense. You remember things about certain guys whose mother, you know, dealt with breast cancer, or whose father dealt with this or that. And it was a glimpse into their backgrounds and what they had to overcome. But I will stop you here for a second. I don't want typically to wait this long between the last game that was played and the draft to give these guys more time to dig into these backgrounds, because next thing you know, the NBA draft will resemble the NFL draft, where I think you'll be sitting across from an executive and like, explain that tattoo, son. What is behind that tattoo? You know, the NFL seems to be a lot less tolerant and maybe more intrusive in their background checks than maybe the NBA. And I know you a scout's going to want the time, but do we really need it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think we'll see, right? I I really believe that it is difficult to figure out what motivates people and what kind of work ethic they have. And I think that when you're handing millions of dollars to 19-year-olds,
yeah,
you better know a little something about their background. And you better need – yeah, I mean, it's – again, you know, these workouts that we're talking about, you got a chance to see the guy work out and have dinner with him. That's a guy in a gym that is basically him against the hoop. That's not really a workout. That's not watching
no
a
fans,
guy.
No
fans.
No pressure.
Exactly. Nothing.
Right.
So it's hard
different
to
context.
Know. Right.
Hey, how do you think the first meeting is going to go? Speaking of not knowing a lot about guys or looking into their backgrounds, how do you think that LeVar Ball and Michael Jordan, how do you think that is going to, when they start to talk about LaMelo and, yeah, and the fact that now he is a Charlotte Hornet, and I think that is going to be a fascinating theater.
LeVar Ball obviously said that he could beat Michael one-on-one.
And yes.
And I'm sure that
undefeated,
a guy like,
never lost.
Yeah, a guy like Michael will probably dunk on him just to teach him a lesson. You know what I'm saying? It's yeah, not like Michael didn't hear that. It's not like he doesn't remember. I mean, he's still keeping a list. He's Michael Jordan, for God's
he's
sake.
He's Michael Jordan. And did you see the LeVar Ball nugget about how he spent some time on the Carolina Panthers roster, and there's that team picture and yeah, photo with him in the first row? Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
I didn't
That's
know
absurd.
That either.
Is that the grass basketball player thing before it actually happened? Oh, my God.
He was apparently on the practice squad in 1995. I never knew that about LeVar Ball.
I didn't either. I was totally stunned by that. With everything that guy says and all the braggadocio, you would think he'd mention it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever heard anyone list off their phony accomplishments? Let's not get into that. 312-644-6767. We're going to bring in Nick Costos, and we're going to make some money next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
I want winners.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. The Bet Rivers countdown to kickoff will air on the Score this Sunday from 8 a.m. to noon with Nick Costos, Danny Parkins, and Ross Tucker of Radio.com Sports. And on the line is Radio.com Sports betting insider Nick Costos. And Nick's brought to us by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, Chicago's hometown sportsbook. And Nick joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Nick.
Mully and Haw, what's going on, guys? Great to be on with you, the great people of Chicago, on this Football Thursday. And look, I am on BetRivers.com right now, looking at the lines for tonight in the National Football League, the absolute best sports book out there, and ready to give you guys, hopefully, some winners on this glorious Football Thursday.
I noticed earlier in the week that the bye week is favored by 6.5 over the Bears, which is kind of surprising.
Lay it with the bye week. Can we guys, you know, can we get a petition started here to, like, can we get Bears Packers out of primetime next week, please?
Oh, God,
just
please.
Like, and really, it's for you. And you know, I actually tweeted on Monday night where, like, I haven't really missed, like, my viewing experience watching on television fans at games this year too much with the fake noise has been cool, right? I actually missed it on Monday night because I wanted to hear the great Bears fans boo that offense off the field. Like, can we get Rams, Cardinals, or Giants, Seahawks on Sunday night next week? Just get the Bears out of primetime, please. And I'm not trying to, like, crap on Bears fans. Bears fans are great. As you guys know, I mean, this is just, I mean, like, it's like, what are
Nick,
we watching? It's just brutal.
Bears fans would be grateful that they wouldn't ruin their Sunday night. Wait all day to watch that? Goodness sakes.
Horrible.
Hey, listen, tonight, okay, so we've got the Cardinals back in action. Before we get to that point and some of your favorites for this weekend, take us back to last Sunday, because what happened with the Hail Mary pass was also a huge betting story because of not only the way the game ended, but also the Cardinals declining to attempt the extra point for they didn't want to get it blocked, had a lot of implications.
Well, David, I'm happy you asked this because this will go down in Nick Costos' gambling lore actually as well. So I'll give you a two-part answer here. For me, I had Stephon Diggs over receiving yards prop. I had DeAndre Hopkins over receiving yards, and I had the game over. So when Diggs catches the touchdown, I go over on Stephon Diggs. I'm under on everything at this point. So if Diggs doesn't catch that touchdown, I lose everything. So Diggs goes over his on the touchdown, which enables DeAndre Hopkins on the next drive because Arizona needs to score. Hopkins goes over before the Hail Mary, and then on the Hail Mary, the game goes over. So I literally hit all of those bets, and I had Bills plus three, and then they kneel on it at the very end. So I swept the board with just an incredible confluence of events, the perfect storm of things happening in a positive fashion for me. But yeah, just an unbelievable series, right, where Cardinals are 2.5. They hit 3 on Sunday, but were 2.5 most of the day. So for anyone that bet the Bills, and think about if you bet the Cardinals, right, you get the Hail Mary, and you're thinking, wow, like, we're up 32-30. We kick the extra point. Now we either win or we push. We don't lose. But that's actually where I've killed Cliff Kingsbury, and I think he's kind of got oatmeal for brains a lot of the times and coaches like he's back in the Big 12. That was actually a great decision for Cliff, and not just because I bet on the Bills, where you risk, like, the extra point gets blocked and brought back, then you have a tie game right here. So that was actually a brilliant piece of coaching by Cliff Kingsbury to kneel on the ball. Now, we want to argue the Nick Chubb play to go out of bounds. You know, I have him in fantasy. Maybe he should have just scored the touchdown because in a win game, Texans were not scoring 10 points in under a minute. Maybe that can be argued, but that's the right play by Cliff Kingsbury. So that cash for Bills bettors, that got the game over the total. And certainly if anyone bet the big players over yards, you cashed at the end there thanks to that series of events. Diggs touchdown, Hopkins touchdown, game goes over, Cardinals sit on the ball, Nick Costos wins a boatload of money. It was fantastic.
Nick, I was going to congratulate you on your New York Football Giants. They are on fire. And then they go ahead and fire Mark Colombo, the former Bear. What the hell is that?
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, you know, the reports that they got. I don't believe that they got into a fist fight. Here's what I'll tell you, man. And I know that Colombo, like, correct me if I'm wrong. He's a longtime Bear, right? Played for the Bears for a long time.
Good guy. Yeah. Good guy.
Yeah, I'm sure it's, yeah, you know what? I got
to
say.
Related to Rocky Marciano.
That's a guy you don't
possible.
Definitely. He's about 6'8". That's a guy you don't want to mess with. But I will say, I kind of really like my coach. I kind of like Joe Judge. So I'm gonna put some faith in Joe Judge here that he kind of knows what he's doing. And as a New York sports fan right now, guys, there ain't no stopping Obi Toppin. So I'm thrilled right now. We got Obi Toppin on the Knicks. So I'm actually feeling decent as a New York sports fan at the moment here.
All right, Nick, how can we feel decent about your picks this weekend? What do you like?
All right, so let's start with Thursday Night Football tonight. I can't believe I'm saying this, and I'm not there yet, and this is not meant to be a cheap plug for tonight's You Better You Bet, although it can serve and function as well here. Our Power Hour coming up to start the show today at 4 p.m. Eastern. My picks, Ken Barkley's picks for Thursday Night Football. I don't have this locked in yet, but I think I'm going to bet the under in this game tonight, which is like a really, like, makes me nervous, right, with the Cardinals and the Seahawks when these two teams scored 71 points when they met a couple weeks ago on Sunday Night Football here. I did bet the Cardinals earlier in the week plus 3.5. I do think this number will tick back up to 3.5. Currently at Bet Rivers right now, the Cardinals sitting as a 3-point underdog. The reason why I kind of like the under here, Cliff Kingsbury has shown, you know, and I gave him a little credit before, he's kicking way too many short field goals here against Buffalo, 21-yard and 25-yard field goals. Like, you can't do that in games where you've got so much high scoring, like Buffalo and this game against Seattle. It almost screwed them last week. They needed the Hail Mary to win the game. It's like, hey, Cliff, like, your defense isn't that great. You've got a great offense. Maybe try and score touchdowns. What a novel concept, right? And for the Seahawks, you're starting to hear, you know, scuttlebutt out of Seattle, some of it coming from Pete Carroll himself, that they're going to morph back into a run-first offense and stop letting #LetRussCook run the ball more, limit some of these turnovers here, and try and play games closer to the vest here. So I'm leaning towards the under right now. I did bet the Cardinals catching 3.5 earlier in the week. So if you like Arizona, wait to get that 3.5. I think that we may get that at some point today. Moving over to an NFL Sunday, let's go to the Patriots game on the road in Houston. Patriots sitting as a 2-point road favorite right now in Houston. I kind of like the Houston Texans in this game, guys, and I like the over as well here, where I think that Damian Harris should have his way running the football on this Texans defense, but conversely here, Houston should be able to, you know, bomb this this Patriots secondary down the field. Now, we need to wait to see on Stephon Gilmore's status. Limited in practice yesterday, hasn't played in a couple weeks here. If no Gilmore here, I think this really opens things up for this Texans passing game, so I kind of like the Texans as a home underdog against the Patriots. I don't feel good saying that, but that is my lean in the game. game. Let's go to Cleveland briefly, where we have the Browns as a 3-point favorite against the Eagles. I bet the Eagles plus 3.5 earlier in the week here, just as an on-field handicap. The Browns are very limited offensively without Odell Beckham Jr. They want to run the ball. Problem is, that's what the Eagles defense does really well. And given the fact that the last two times we've seen the Browns play, it's been in these extreme win games, the loss to the Raiders a couple weeks ago, and then the win over the Texans on Sunday. I think we've kind of forgotten that this secondary is absolutely brutal. So I think this could be a big game for the rookie receiver, Jalen Reagor. Certainly a big game for the tight end, Dallas Goedert. I like the Eagles in this game as a 3-point road dog in Cleveland. If you can get 3.5, obviously like that even more. And one other one that I'm feeling good about for right now, this is another one where I don't feel great, especially since it's at 7 now. So I would wait to get 7.5 here. And that's with the Dallas Cowboys on the road in Minnesota. I know people are like, how could you bet Dallas here? Well, Minnesota on this 3-game win streak has not been tested at all. Their bad secondary has not really been tested. Obviously, the Bears aren't testing any secondary, whether it's, you know, college football or the National Football League right now. Wow. They played the Lions without Kenny Golladay, and then the Packers in the win game at Lambeau a couple 3 weeks ago. So I actually think the Cowboys coming off their bye with Andy Dalton back under center, all the weapons in the passing attack with Cooper, Gallup, and Lamb, like CeeDee Lamb is going to annihilate Jeff Gladney in the slot in this game here. I think Dallas is going to be able to move the ball. I like the over in this game, over 48.5, and I like the Dallas Cowboys at anything over a touchdown. Again, currently 7 at the Bet River Sportsbook. If that ticks back up to 7.5, definitely like the Cowboys on the road in Minnesota.
Great stuff. Thank you, Nick.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it, guys.
Nick.
Wishing you guys and all the great listeners in Chicago minimal sweats, winning bets, and the absolute very best of luck.
That was Radio.com Sports Betting Insider Nick Costos. Nick is brought to us by Bet River Sportsbook, Chicago's hometown sportsbook. Go sign up and bet at BetRivers.com today. Must be 21 plus and present an Illinois or Indiana driver's license to prove it. New users only. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. All right, we're going to have a conversation with our dear friend and compadre. We like to call him compadre because we don't ever use that word. Dan Bernstein next. We'll get a chance to pick his brain. I'm sure he has all sorts of thoughts on Patrick Williams.
You know that, and I can't wait for rounds 3 through 7 on the NBA draft. Isn't that tonight?
What happened to that? Can't we just keep going?
Let's just keep going.
I want to see
more living room shots.
More weeping in living rooms. Yes. I'm all over it. More young guys weeping. Dan Bernstein will cry with us next. Mully and Haw on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.